What if I told you that you could live the life of your dreams? What if I told you that you learn a lot in high school and some of it's helpful, but none of it really prepares you for the real world? Where do you learn how to start your own business? How to pick a career? How to grow and excel by doing what you love and not what you were told? How to pay taxes and invest? Who teaches you how to win with your money and live your best life in the process? I do. You're listening to Mia Reveals. Hi, family. I hope that you all are doing well. It has been a long day on my end, to say the least. Feels like there's always something, you know, but I just could not let the day end without accomplishing something. I thought about postponing this pod, pushing it back like a day or two, but with the energy that I have left, that I have mustered up to push through, we are going to continue with our investing crash course. Over the past few weeks, we have covered the stock market and how it works, trading versus investing. Last week, I know we compared stocks against bonds and then introduced two new markets, the Forex market and the crypto market. And so far, everything has been more or less top level. I've just been introducing you guys to investing, the overall idea, and some common misperceptions without going too far into the details. There is a lot that goes into the specifics of investing, specific strategies, the ins and outs of day trading. Even if you just invest in index funds, there are the different types of funds that aim to achieve certain goals. For example, if you desire to realize steady income from your investments and not so much capital gains, then you would probably benefit from a few income index funds that will pay out in the form of dividends and bonds and other income generating securities. Those specific details we will get into. I told you guys that I really want to start getting into other types of investments and talk more about investing opportunities external to the stock market. But there is so much that can be covered, and I really do want you all to have a good understanding. I don't want you to just know about the stock market and not know exactly how or what you can do to benefit from it. It's one thing to know your index fund options. It's another to know exactly how to invest in the right ones and see this theoretical message become your reality. You dig? So in this episode, we are going to answer some questions about options trading. Again, just a very high level review, because options trading alone, like really teaching it, can be a few episodes on its own. And honestly, I would prefer to do that on YouTube, because there are just some things that are better depicted visually when it comes to investing, like stock charts and how to read statements. I do visualize a few posts on Instagram, but a whole watch-worthy episode or watch-worthy course, in my opinion, would be just so much better visually. So again, in this episode, I am just going to cover options trading, what it is, what makes it different from just purchasing stocks, and breaking it down with a few understandable examples. The timestamps are in the show notes for those who are looking for answers to specific questions. And if you don't see your question there or hear it answered, please let me know and I will do that for you. Here goes. Okay, first off, if you don't know what options trading is, don't feel bad. This is one of the more complex investing methods. It's not as simple as picking a company, investing, and deciding whether to hold or sell. The only reason we are covering this so soon, quote unquote, is because the question was asked on Instagram. I told you, what you want to know, let me know, and I'll let you know. But until recently, as in like 2018, 2017, maybe even a few years before, but not many. But until then, options trading was really only done by professionals. Because of its complexities, your average everyday investor wouldn't tread into the options trading waters. What it is, simply put, is a contract. An option is a contract that gives the owner of the option the right to buy or sell an asset at a fixed price on or before a given date. Now, what you need to remember here is that an option gives you the right to buy or sell, but there is no obligation. This will come in handy in just a second. But options are contracts that give you the right to buy or sell shares at a later date at a predetermined price. You have the option to do this, but you are not obligated to do anything. And options trading is just that, trading options. You can trade these contracts just like you trade stocks and bonds. But before we get into the nitty-gritty, let me just give you guys some key terms. There are five words or terms that are standard to options trading. There's the premium, which is basically the price that you pay for the option or sell the option for if you're selling the option to somebody. There is the strike price or exercise price, which is the pre-negotiated price of the underlying asset. This is a fixed price, meaning it does not change. Now, in this episode, I'm just going to refer to it as the strike price. I don't want any confusion, but if you hear exercise price in any other scenario or video or anything like that, it's the same thing as the strike price. The expiration is the date or time the contract ends. If you allow your contract to reach expiration, then you will no longer have the option to buy or sell. And lastly, there are call options and put options. Call options are the most common, and they give you the right to buy an asset at the strike price. And put options gives you the right to sell assets at the strike price. The question is, why would you enact a contract to buy a stock in the future versus just buying it now? Well, here's a very common and relatable example that will help you understand exactly where we are going with this. Right now, the housing market is crazy, right? Well, let's say there's a new neighborhood being built and you want the option to buy one of the homes in the new neighborhood. You don't know for certain whether or not it'll meet your specification, so you don't draw up paperwork just yet. You just want a contract that says you will have the option to purchase it if you want, and you have a deadline of 2 years to do so. Between now and 2 years, you can enact this options contract. So you and the builder agree on these contract terms if you make a 10% down payment. Here's where it all ties together. You are buying a call option because you want the ability to buy this house. Remember, call options give you the ability to buy. Put options give you the ability to sell. You are buying a call option from the builder of the neighborhood. The premium, the price you are buying this option, is the 10% down payment, which is centered around the strike price. I did this on purpose because the whole incentive behind options is the strike price. Watch this, or listen. If you agree to buy a home from the contractor for $350,000, your strike price is $350,000. It's fixed. No matter what the value of the home is when you decide to execute your option, you will only pay the $350,000 predetermined strike price. Your premium is the 10% down payment, which is $35,000. The expiration is 2 years. So you just paid $35,000 for the option to buy a $350,000 home within the next 2 years. Now, let's say it's 2 years later. The house is completely built. You love it. You are ready to buy, but the value of the home is now $1 million. You know what? That's almost realistic in this market, but what does that mean for you? Nothing. Your option is a contract with a fixed price. So it turns out that you paid a $35,000 premium so you can buy a $1 million home for only $350,000. You immediately walk into your home with over $600,000 in equity. That is how options work. That is why options trading can be very profitable. Now, using an actual example related to the stock market, let's say you have a 1 year call option on Apple common stock. The strike price is $150, and 6 months after buying the option, the price of Apple stock is actually selling for $200. Now, usually options contracts are good for 100 shares. So let's do that math. You just bought $200 stock for $150. That's an automatic $50 gain. If you turn around and sell those 100 shares at a $50 profit per share, you just made $5,000 in profit. And sometimes more experienced investors who feel like Apple stock price will increase even higher may just hold on to those 100 shares in hopes of making even more money. But as you see, the option does not buy you shares in a company until you execute that option. But let's look at the flip side. Going back to the neighborhood example, let's say it's nearly 2 years later, you are coming up on your expiration and the builder experienced delays. The house is not built and you are not willing to buy the house for $350,000 if you don't know what it's going to look like or if it's even going to pass inspection. What if the home value actually decreases? Are you going to pay $350,000 for a house that could only be worth $200,000? So in this case, it's likely that you would pass because your option will expire before you get the answers that you need. So what happens to your premium? Do you get your down payment back? No, you most certainly do not. And that is the risk that you take when you buy options. Remember how I said you are not obligated to buy or sell anything? You just have the right to. Well, if you decide to forego on that option, then you lose that premium. That is the risk that you take when it comes to buying options. Going back to the Apple example, your strike price is $150, but it's nearing expiration and the market value is only $100. Do you pay $50 more for a stock than it's currently worth? I'm gonna give you two sides to this. On one side, there are the investors who feel like, I've already paid my premium, I don't wanna lose it, so I'm gonna execute the option. If that is your reasoning, it is bad reasoning, okay? What you just did is made a decision based on sunk costs. That premium is gone. No matter what you do, you're not getting it back. So risking an even bigger loss based on money you will never see again anyway is not a wise decision. If it's a loss and you don't want to take another loss, then walk away. It comes with the territory. On the other side, however, there could be investors who believe that this company is currently undervalued. If a company is undervalued, then that means their stock price does not reflect their potential earnings. So that investor may go ahead and buy the Apple stock at a loss and just hold on to it until the company's stock price increases to reflect its true value. Then they'll make their money back that way. And that's just a risk that some investors will take. And like I said, more knowledgeable, more experienced investors may go that route. But less experienced investors will try to make a decision based on the sunk cost, and that is not a good decision-making process. As you see, there are a lot of options with options trading. Pun intended. I'm going to give you an example of a put option. These really aren't that common. I've told you a few times, I think, that no one buys stocks hoping the price drops. Well, that's exactly what a put option is. With a put option, you pay the premium for the option in hopes that the company's share values decrease. This is how that works. Let's use T-Mobile. Let's say T-Mobile stock price is $160. Now guys, quick disclaimer, I am not using real-time stock prices in this episode. I know most times I do, but everything in today's episode is completely hypothetical, okay? So T-Mobile stock price, $160, and you believe that T-Mobile is overvalued. That means that their stock price is too high. They are not worth that much, and soon enough, the market will reflect that. So let's say you buy a put option with a stock price of $150. If you are right, and T-Mobile stock drops to $100, then you can go buy shares for $100 and turn around and execute your put option to sell them at $150. You see that? Your strike price was $150, meaning you have a contract that gives you the right to sell those shares for $150. So if you see the price drop, you can go buy those shares at that low, low price and then sell them for $50 more because you have a contract that says you can. Now, in the case that you're wrong and T-Mobile increases its share value, then your option is worthless. You're not gonna go out and buy shares in a company and then sell them for cheaper. You're just not. I told you the goal is to make money. Even with a put option, if you're betting on a company losing value, it's only so you can win the bet. To wrap this episode up, I want to touch on a few more things very quickly. The difference between option trading and stock trading is that when you buy stocks, you are purchasing ownership. When you pay for an option, you are only buying the ability to either buy or sell an asset in the future. If that asset is stocks, then you won't own anything until you actually exercise your option. Does that make sense? Options give you the option to buy or sell. They don't give you ownership. Again, if your option expires before you exercise it, you do not get your premium back. You can lose all of your premium, which differs greatly from investing in stocks. I repeat, the market may decrease in value. So if you invest in the stock market and the market drops 10%, then you'll lose 10% of that investment. If it drops 20%, then you're going to lose 20%. But you never lose all of your money invested in stock, unless the company goes bankrupt. That's it. When you invest in companies, when you purchase shares, unless the company just goes belly up, you won't lose 100% of your investment. And remember, it's only a loss if you sell. So on paper, you've lost 10% or 20%, but if you hold on to it and it increases again, then you can earn your money back. That is a big difference between stocks and options. Because if that option expires before it reaches the price or value you need, then you lose your entire premium, the whole thing gone. And that's why a lot of people feel like options are more risky than stocks. You can't lose more than your premium, but you can definitely lose all of it. Another question I saw asked a lot is, do you have to wait to exercise your option? And the answer is no. With European options, you can only exercise them on the expiration date. But with American options, you have until the expiration date. That means if you see a profit before your option expires, you don't have to wait. You can exercise it right then and there and walk away with your gain, period. Same goes if you're losing money. If you want to take the lowest loss possible and not wait to lose even more, then you can do that. My advice for options trading. Do you really want to know? I'm going to tell you like it is. There are people who debate whether investing in individual stocks is equivalent to gambling. Fine. I'm not going to argue that. Everyone is entitled to their opinion. But I would love to hear the perspective of anyone who doesn't think that options are the same as gambling, because they are straight up bets. Your premium is literally money on the table and you are betting on the strike price. And you have a deadline to realize that bet. Timing is everything with options. Everything. I know a lot of people lose money because they buy the cheaper options. Cheaper options give you less time, and time is associated with risk. You really need more time to increase your chances of walking away with more money. But in order to do that, you have to pay a higher premium. I can't remember if I've mentioned this on the pod, but typically risk and returns are positively correlated. That means the greater the risk, the greater the return, and vice versa. Small cap stocks are typically more risky, but they also generate higher returns than their less risky counterparts. Well, in the case of options, if you want to reduce your risk, then you are going to have to pay more. Cheaper options have shorter expirations, so the risk is very high. In addition to knowing what you're doing, I would recommend that you don't go for those cheaper options. So what I have to say is, if you have the money to blow, have at it. Enjoy. Place a bet for me. But if you can't afford to lose the premium, step away from the table. Options are not for you. And that's okay. Options are not for everyone. It definitely takes a skill level and a knowledge set to approach this successfully. Can it be done? Yes. Would I recommend it? Are you in debt? Then no. If you don't have a fully funded emergency fund, no. If you are not maxing out other investment methods such as IRAs or pensions, no. But if you have savings, no debt, other investments, and you just have the money that you can afford to lose, then be my guest. But that's it. Again, it's late, very late. I've got to start doing these things earlier, but if you have any questions, suggestions, concerns, requests for additional topics, I do read and respond to every comment. Even if it's just a heart, I respond to your messages, and you can message me on Instagram at Mia_reveals_YT. My website, MiaReveals.com, literally a hub for everything, my podcast, YouTube, blog, all of it. And my YouTube channel, Mia Reveals. I know a new video was supposed to release this past weekend, but we did have some family health concerns, so that has been delayed, but it is on the way. I have not forgotten. Until the next time, good night.